to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. We're halfway through the year, and that means that we are a little over halfway through reading the Bible through the year, going through the bigger story of the Bible. And as I've mentioned previously, reading through the New Testament, which is where we are, it's not as clear chronologically as it was back in the Old Testament when we just went story after story and you could kind of easily follow along. In the New Testament, we're not really going over stories as often as getting through important topics or important arguments about the faith in the different letters and books. However, I wanted to kind of do a check-in with you to make sure that everybody knows kind of where we've come from and what the connections are, a roadmap of where we were and where we are throughout the year. So if you remember during Lent, we heard about the prophecies of Isaiah and how the promised Messiah would bring good news to the poor and how he would be a healer and how he'd be a sacrifice for the people of God to make them right with God. And then we heard about how Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies through his journey to the cross. And then in his death, and then most miraculously on Easter Sunday, his resurrection from the dead. And that got us through about the middle of April. After that, I started focusing on the four gospel stories, specifically how they give us a model for how we are to make disciples. Just like Jesus made his 12 disciples and they were called to make disciples, we're called to do the same thing, to encourage people to come and see and then to follow Jesus, to follow and fish and then go bear fruit. So I took a brief interlude, a couple of weeks talking about mental health and then grieving, but then we celebrated the day of Pentecost. But I didn't really get to talk about Pentecost because, well, there were 7 faith talks that day on Confirmation Day, which were great, but I couldn't really say what that day was about or what went on. So I wanted to kind of explain what Pentecost is and why it matters so much to us. Pentecost is the Christian holiday that takes place 50 days after Easter. Pent, it's a prefix meaning 50, okay? So 50 days after Easter, it commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' apostles. If you remember, it's in Acts chapter 2, and they had tongues of fire on their shoulders, and they spoke in different languages. So the word apostle, though, I mentioned them. The apostle comes from the Greek word apostello, which means sent. The 12 disciples, the followers of Jesus, the learners, become the people that Jesus sent, the apostles. They're the same people, okay? The disciples turn into apostles. But how were they to fulfill all the things that Jesus had told them to do up to this point? Like things like, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus told them also to serve others, just like he came to serve, not to be served. And Jesus told them to share the message of the cross far and wide. Well, before Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, he told them that really on their own they were going to be unable to do the things he had asked them to do, to accomplish all that he had told them to do. However, they were soon to receive this very special gift, the gift that they were going to receive on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Jesus told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, on the day of Pentecost, that's the day when that promise came true. God's Holy Spirit fell on Jesus' followers, and they were empowered to do all that he had asked them to do before. So that's why the last couple of weeks, and then again today, I've been focusing on how the Holy Spirit empowers us to love one another and to work for justice in the world for our neighbors. And now today, how we are called and sent out to share the message of Jesus Christ everywhere. Jesus said that his followers would be witnesses in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I think about it like three circles that just get bigger and bigger. First one, he calls them to Jerusalem. That means he was calling them to serve other believers, to love other believers, to love one another. When Jesus said that, he was calling them specifically to love other believers. For us, we might think other brothers and sisters in Christ. But then second, he told his followers to be sent out to Judea and Samaria. That the idea is to love their neighbors, right? To go outside of their small circle and keep making that circle bigger. So in this way, he was calling them to be sent out to serve others, to bring justice to others. And that's why when we work in the world as Christians, we're really called to make a difference in the lives of all kinds of other people, whether they're Christian or not. And the Christian church, as I mentioned last week, has always been known as a group of people that were trying to make this world a better place, not just people that were going to tell you about a better world or a better life after you die, but people who are going to try to make a difference right here in your life. But today I want to share with you how God empowers us to share the message of the cross with the rest of the world. Jesus' third statement was that his followers would be witnesses to the ends of the earth. So to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Everywhere you look in the Bible, God is talking about how he desires that all nations would know him and that all nations would glorify him. On every continent, in every language, no matter what their background is, God wants them to recognize him as their Lord and as their Savior. And the book of Revelation is awesome. It gives a vision for what heaven is going to look like. And I think, notably, it includes all people. Not just people who think like us or who look like us or speak like us. It says, "After I looked, there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." In other words, heaven is going to be a multicultural gathering for everyone that's there. At the end of my seminary career, I took a class about diversity and how, as a church, we might work at dismantling racism. But at least at first, I remember thinking, this class is a little pointless for me. I mean, I was planning on working in the rural Midwest, and I had a feeling, and by the way, I was pretty right, I wasn't going to have a lot of opportunities to work with people of other races or in other cultures. I mean, sometimes, but not really very often. I had a feeling that was going to happen, and to be honest, it's been true. I really haven't had a lot of opportunities. So why did I need to take a whole class in this? Why did I need to learn so much about this? But one statement that I heard during the class has always stuck with me ever since. Our teacher explained that the reason the church needs to work on becoming diverse is not because people from other cultures need us to. They're fine. A lot of other cultures know about Jesus just fine, okay? In fact, a lot of other countries send their missionaries to America because they think, wow, those Americans, they need to know Jesus a lot better. So why is it that we need to work on becoming a more diverse church? It's because unless we experience the diversity in our faith communities, we are missing out. We are missing out. We experience a less abundant life than what God has in store for us, what he created for us. Experiencing people from other cultures with different customs and ways of thinking can help us better understand who God is and how so much variety there is to worshiping him. Worshiping only with people who look like you do and who think like you do and who act the way you do, it might be comfortable for you in the short term, but you really miss out on the fullness of God's creation in the long run. So we have heard about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to love one another and work for justice in the world. But today, I want to think about how does the Holy Spirit empower us to share our faith with others, even people that are very far away. What are we supposed to do to get the message out to people in other nations? What would we ever say to them that would make a difference? I believe, first of all, that God needs to open our eyes and our hearts to the world around us, to give us his heart, his love for the nations. And that is exactly what he says he'll do, such as in the book of Ezekiel, a new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then once we have that heart to love people from other cultures, what would we say? It's hard to know. But then again, God says he will empower us to do that as well. He says that in Mark 13, which was our gospel today, he was speaking to these people who said, when you're arrested, when you're brought to trial, don't worry beforehand about what to say. Just say what is given to you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit. He says he'll speak through us. We don't have to worry so much about what we're going to say. Just say something. What does it look like then when God empowers you in this way? Well, when God inspires you to pray for people who you will probably never ever meet, people who are maybe very different from you, I think that is God at work. When you recognize that they are just as loved as you are here in America. And then God works in you in other ways too. He works in you when you start to think about sharing your treasure with those who are most in need across this world. I mean, let's be honest, here in America, we are super blessed. We are blessed with material wealth that much of the world is just unable to fathom. According to the Pew Research Center, more than half of Americans were the highest income level by global standards. Global standards, the high income level is living on more than $50 a day. Another third of Americans were considered upper middle income compared to the rest of the world. In fact, only 5% of Americans are considered either poor or in poverty by global standards, compared to 56% of the rest of the world that lives in poverty according to these standards. The thing is, if it's hard to pray for people that you will never ever meet, I mean, you can just imagine how hard it would be to send your hard-earned income, your money, to people that you are never ever going to meet. But when God gets working on our hearts, when he does that, we know that he's at work. He's doing something that we probably can't do on our own. So when it happens that you start caring about people you'll never know and places that you may never go, you can thank God that he is working in and through you to bless people in these nations that he really does care for so much. Finally, there are times where God will empower you to answer the call to missions. Now, most of us are never going to go on a mission trip. That's just the facts. However, some of you may feel the call to do so. Some of you may be asked to do this. And if that happens, we want to not only be ready to answer that call, but ready to encourage one another to step up and follow that call from God. Now, on your own, I would never expect any of you to leave your home or travel thousands of miles away to share the message of Jesus with someone from another country, maybe even in another language. However, if you ever feel God calling you to do this, I'm telling you, you would really be missing out if you don't immediately make plans to leave and follow him so that you would have the experience that he wants you to have and to share that message that people need to hear. So we are called to make disciples, but we are called to make disciples to the very ends of the earth. But we know that we can't do this on our own. So we need to pray that God continues to change not only our hearts, but the hearts of all of our community of faith to experience the fullness of what he has for us. Because on our own, there's not a lot we can do, it's true. But when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, God can do great things that will not only change us, but that will impact the entire world in his name. Amen.